as if things couldn't get any worse today. I just saw that they announced Shrek 4 for the, or Shrek 5 for 2019. Yeah. I mean, good God, man, what are we got to do in this country to turn things around? We got a possible Trump presidency, and
I didn't even know there was a Shrek 4.
I wish I didn't know that.
I think I've only seen Shrek 1, and I was fine with it. I don't need to see any of the other ones.
No, you don't. Hey, this is the 16-bit Catholic podcast. We're going to try to come back like normal. I say that every time, and we never do. I am Dustin Faber, along with my co-host, James Ryan. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I am excellent. Greetings. Salutations, everyone.
Greetings. I have to get something out of the way first. I just want to throw up an apology. I'm not going to name names. It's not you, James, but I had a previous guest on the show who they glorified like gentrification in a way that when I listened back to the episode, it made me a little uncomfortable, their praise for such a thing. And but during the episode, I didn't like confront it. I just was like, oh yeah, of course, that sounds great, and then moved along. I probably wasn't paying attention to what they were saying, but so I did just want to, you know, if somebody did hear that, just apologize for that. So,
gentrification of what?
They were happy that some neighborhood was being gentrified or something like that. Like, oh, it's great. It's gentrification. It's wonderful. And now I'm like, no.
Well,
it's really okay. Not. But,
there,
you know.
Okay, there's certain types of gentrification. And then we're doing a lot of that in Los Angeles, because especially downtown LA. Okay, if your whole purpose is to clean up the neighborhood and make it, you know, habitable for everyone to live there, then that's great. If it's gentrification for cleaning it up and then thus kicking out the people who have lived there forever by raising all the rents and everything like that, so that the people who have the money can now move into these spots, that's bullshit.
Yeah, I'll have to elaborate a little with you off the air, so I don't want to spend any more time on the person than I have to. But
that's my stance on
it. Well, it's a good stance, and that's a stance that I agree with. But this week I got the recommendation to start watching a show called Stranger Things. How much of this did you get to watch?
We finished it. We did all eight episodes on this past Sunday. Yes.
You did all of them in one day?
All of them in one day, yes, indeed. There was a little bit of a break in between.
That's an insane viewing schedule, man.
Yes, we started, let's see, we did the first three probably around, like starting around like maybe 11 a.m. or something. And my 13-year-old nephew had stayed over at our place that night. And so we watched the first three episodes. We stopped, took him to my parents' house where my sister was going to pick him up, and then came back home and watched the remaining five episodes. And I think we finished up right around maybe a little after midnight or maybe almost 1 a.m.
Wow. I just watched one episode. I'm trying to, like, savor it, you know, and just kind of soak it in, because our friend Christopher Alt at Occupy Nachos on Twitter, he was really mad that he got to the last episode. He was furious that it was all over with. So I was like, well, I don't want to watch it all and then have nothing left. So I'm going to watch one a day.
Yeah, I was talking about that. He said that it's a great thing that it's eight episodes, but it's also a bad thing that it's eight episodes, because it was so good that you really wanted more. It really left you with more. You know, wanting more, and I do agree, because I love the setting. You know, the 80s. It's got that Steven Spielberg-esque in the 80s feel, that John Carpenter movie like The Fog or you know, not really Halloween, but sort of like that sci-fi feel. It also has a little bit of you're gonna get into it later, a little Silent Hill feel.
Ooh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah,
I'm really looking forward to watching more of this show. After this podcast, I'll probably go and watch another episode of it this evening. But it's one of those rare shows where there was, I really don't want to give away anything to anybody, but there was a part in the first episode toward the end, and you'll know what I'm talking about, but I was so, like, tense with, like, suspense that I couldn't move. Like, I was just stuck there, like, glued to the couch, and that's not really happened very often in my life, that I've watched a show where it's like, oh my God, like I felt like I was in the moment and I couldn't move, because I thought if I move, I'm going to like hurt one of the characters on the screen or something like that. It was when somebody came to a diner to pick somebody up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and things happened.
Wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, I kind of started to expect it when somebody says, oh, we blah, 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 blah. This is the worst podcast ever because I'm not giving you anything. I don't want to spoil anything on this show. Tell you what, next time you and I podcast together, it'll be like a spoiler cast where we talk about, you know. And then the bomb blew up and the world died at the end of Stranger Things.
It was
terrible. Yes, so
now, Stranger Things, especially if, you know, I'm a child of the 80s. I grew up in the 80s with things like The Goonies, with things like Stephen King movies, with things like, you know, E.T. and stuff like that. So it is. You put this all in a big bowl. You got the kids who are like the Goonies. I call them the Goonies JV squad.
I saw that the other day. I like that.
They weren't as kind of old as the Goonies, who, you know, in the age wise, but they're a little bit younger. But they're still like kind of like they could be maybe in that same circle, that social circle. And the kids are great at acting, and they're the best. I mean, they hold the show up, and without them, the show would be nothing. I thought Winona Ryder is doing a wonderful job as the distraught mother.
And I saw somebody criticize her acting performance, and I couldn't get mad. It's like, well, maybe they've seen the whole thing, and maybe she does a bad job at acting later on the end. But you say she's doing a good job.
No, I think she did an exquisite job. I thought she was wonderful throughout the entire. Her arc was wonderful. You know, she's that desperate mom. You know, trying to get that, you know, every penny out of her job to help support her two sons, and now her son is gone, disappeared, and now she's lost her, basically losing her mind. And I love the sheriff too. The sheriff was really awesome too. He's really a go-getter. He's the anti kind of what you would expect in movies like this of law enforcement or of adults, you know, because sometimes it's you watch these movies and it's the kids who know everything and it's the adults who always poo-poo everything and they don't get it until the very end. But no, I like it that the sheriff is a great character.
At first, the sheriff, and this is not, you know, if you really don't want to spoil anything, fast forward a minute on this, but the way they first portrayed the sheriff, I thought he was going to end up being like a bum or a loser, you know, show him waking up in the morning, he's smoking a cigarette while getting ready for work and everything, and it's like,
that's good old-fashioned American, all right?
But then something changes, he, you know, the light switch, or the light goes crazy on him or something, he's like, get a search party together, and it's like, oh man, it's going down now. This is the real deal. But
it's a breath of fresh air, because you know it's that silly trope where, like I said, the adults don't know anything and the kids are the most knowledgeable and everything like that. So it's pretty cool that they're on the same level, and you'll have to wait and see if they cross paths or anything like that.
I'm looking forward to that. Also, I like that Dustin kid in there, and I don't see very many characters in TV shows named Dustin. Like, the only one I ever saw when I was a kid was, like, Dustin Diamond on Saved by the Bell. And they didn't even call him Dustin in this show. They call him Screech. They thought Screech was a better name than Dustin. You know how much that hurts my psyche as a child to think, wow, they thought Screech was a better name than my own name. Like, that was it. That was his real name. They could have made that his name on the show. But, so we watch everything with captions because it's just easier to pay attention. You can pick up dialogue that you might have missed, and sometimes it names songs, you know, that play in the background that they don't otherwise identify. So it's great. And then my wife comes from a family where people like to talk over the TV. So
that's horrible.
But I see the name Dustin on there, and it kind of like jars me, kind of takes me a little bit out of the world a little bit. Like, that's me. They're talking about me on TV. I feel so famous now. But.
And speaking of seeing, you know, the names of the songs on the subtitles, how about that soundtrack? Really good soundtrack.
Yeah, it's really, I can't think of any of the songs off the top of my head, but I remember thinking, well, this is a really good setting. What's your favorite song that they've played on that show?
Well, I mean, I like the 80s songs that I can think of. I can think of, obviously, Sunglasses at Night. I think they play that in one of the episodes by Corey Hart. But what I really dig is the background music, that synthesizer.
Yeah, kind of that's...
It really typifies a very typical 80s film or genre, because you would definitely hear that in something like a John Carpenter film.
It says the, I just looked up, the original score is written by two people named Kyle Dixon and Michael Stein, and according to this article, there's not much on them when you go to IMDb, so it looks like this is their first foray into Hollywood, but that music was so important to the setting, that instrumental, that this is probably not going to be the last thing they do in Hollywood, I would imagine.
Yeah, it was really good. I can't say it enough that it sounded like a John Carpenter film, but it also sounded like more recently the movie Drive with Ryan Gosling. It had the kind of the synthesizer, that synth beats in the background. So there was a lot of allusions to a lot of different properties, be it movie or TV or a lot of other things. I really dug it. And the cool Easter eggs too in the background of the kids' rooms and stuff like that. You'll see movie posters from the 80s of that time. You'll see certain toys that were big of the time as well.
Yeah, I've got to like pause and like look around at like the backgrounds and stuff. But did you just little trivia for you? One of the characters mentions X-Men 134. Do you know what storyline that is referring to?
If you had asked me that yesterday, I probably would not have. But since I just clicked on a page that showed a lot of the Easter eggs a little bit ago, that was the Dark Phoenix, I believe.
Yeah, I because I didn't know exactly when the movie was taking place. So when they said that, I was like, oh, I can look that up, because I knew it was early 80s, but I mean, that's like June 1980. And then there's a flashback scene where they talk about going to see the movie Poltergeist, which I've never seen before.
You've never seen Poltergeist
before? No, I've never seen. Dude, I've got a list of movies a mile long that I have never seen that would just make you sad. That would make you sad, man.
Well, a lot of times, that was an 80s movies. So, I mean, if you didn't have, obviously I know, that you had some restrictions on some of the movies that you watched growing up, but you were a couple of years younger than me, and by the time you started maybe watching the movies on TV, that movie, wasn't in the regular play of TV as it was when I was a kid.
Yeah, it's, I would like to go see it. I've never seen Lethal Weapon. I feel like that's...
You never seen the first Lethal Weapon? That's a great...
I've got it on. We've got one of those, we got that Warner Brothers best Blu-ray box set. Uh-huh. It's like 50 films, and that one's in there.
Oh, along that's with great. The first two are really good.
I'm going to skip the fourth one with Chris Rock. I don't
The first three were all right, but the Chris Rock one was not that good. That was Jet Li as well. That was not
I had Jet Li. That's probably the only redeeming thing about that movie. But I haven't seen that. I've got to watch Unforgiven. Those are the
That was a good two. Movie, too. Yeah.
I've seen parts of that movie, though. I've seen the ending of Unforgiven. I just haven't seen the beginning of
it. Don't feel so bad about that. I actually only saw that the first time maybe a couple years ago.
Oh, okay. But Lethal Weapon, it sounds like that's something I need to
see. If you like, buddy cop films, there's some... And then some saxophone background music is always fun.
So. I remember watching that movie. It made me. I tried to start watching it because my dad had recorded it off TV, and I went to go watch it. But I was going through puberty at the time, and I start the movie up, and it's this topless lady, and it's whoa! And then she kills herself. It's like, sex is dirty and bad. Apparently, that's. And then Mel Gibson tries to put a gun in his mouth while he's watching Looney Tunes. And when you're 14 years old. It's like that's a bit much for me. I'm gonna check out of this. And Danny Glover's in the bathtub. So
exactly.
Good times all around.
I'm getting too old.
So that's gonna wrap up most of our podcast for the evening. But James, tell these good people where they can go to find you.
You can find me everywhere. I'm on the internet.
Everywhere.
I'm on vlogcast.net /AOD, which is the Army of Darkness page, but I just did a first episode of a new cartoon show called The Fortune Teller.
Yeah, I like that first episode you did.
Thank you. Hopefully this weekend I can maybe record a second one. I'm going to stick with the 80s stuff and see where we go from there. I'm also on Time Limit Draw and Ancient Aztec Podcast, where both of those are about wrestling.
I like it, and I, as customary, whenever I do a podcast with you, I always retweet the very last thing you said. You said, "I'm pretty sweet we had a Salem witch trial reenactment at the RNC tonight." So
that was last night. That was Chris Christie calling out Hillary Clinton, I guess. I didn't see all of it, but I heard the gist of it, and he sounded like a bozo.
Oh, man, this is this thing is just it's an awful mess. I don't want to get political, but these people are terrible.
It's a circus, and that was only the second. Tonight's the third night. The first night, geez, they had plagiarism on the script. Who she claims that she wrote it herself. Now they're backtracking, claiming that she didn't write it herself. And then we had the old big boy Chris Christie. Who's probably really pissed that he didn't get chosen for VP, I will say that.
And then Ted Cruz, tonight we're recording this on a Wednesday. It's about 9:40 Central time, 7:40 Pacific Blue time. That's a dumb joke, I promise you. That's the last time I say Pacific Blue time. But Ted Cruz, he didn't endorse Trump in his speech. He just said, vote with your conscience. And they all started, like, booing him. And it's like one of the few times that I've ever thought, like, oh, that Ted Cruz guy. He did something not bad there. Most of the time, I don't like him very much.
That's uncharacteristic. But you know, I don't like these guys who originally claimed that they didn't want to go for Trump. You know, I'll never support him. And Paul Ryan, looking at you. And the next day, he's all for Trump.
It doesn't sound like Ted Cruz is changing his position on that.
Well, good. So, good on him.
We finally got one common sense person down at that Republican National Convention. So
first good thing that he's done probably in a few years.
They had to escort his wife out because I guess it was getting like so ugly or whatever.
Oh, she's getting rowdy. She's getting a little loaded.
Right? Yeah, somebody asked if it was like a WWE event. Is like John Cena going to come out next? I was like, hopefully to beat all these people up. John Cena showed up and got thrown in jail because he showed up and started beating up politicians on the stage. Where does that put Cena in like the ranks of all-time great WWE guys? I got to think most people would change their opinion of him like really fast.
Yeah, you want to be you want to not be booed anymore? Do something like that. You'll be the saint. For the rest of your life.
Hey, we got like 30, 40 seconds or so. Did you get to see any of that WWE draft?
I did not. No, I did not. I saw the results. So.
What did you think of the results?
The only bottom line is I lived through the other two drafts, and how long is it going to be until they start forgetting that they actually had a brand, switch and start integrating the rosters back together when the ratings are down.
Yeah, I'm figuring that might happen. But you know what? When I got like two kids and like a job and like other hobbies, it's gonna be a lot easier to watch a 2-hour SmackDown on 3-hour Raw. That's for sure.
Indeed, 3-hour Raw is a little tedious. You know, so, go back to 2 hours.
Yeah, and SmackDown has Bray Wyatt on there and Dean Ambrose. So,
hey-o.
Which I think you and Dean Ambrose, y'all sound a lot alike. Y'all have the same vocal inflections. So,
thank you.
Anytime he's on the screen, I just think, oh, that's James Ryan on my TV right now. So
nice.
But
one more thing before we go out here. July 21st, tomorrow is my birthday.
Happy birthday, man. Happy thank you. Birthday.
So, thank you.
I didn't get you anything. I'm sorry about that.
You know what? You gave me the gift of this podcast.
Well, that's like the worst gift ever. I might as well have gotten you like a pair of socks and like a glove or something.
One glove only, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, one glove, yeah, because you two gloves are for winners, man. You gotta earn that glove. No. But all right, well, you can find me at 16-Bit Catholic, and I do this because I don't do anything else. I should do more things. I need to do more with my life. So
yes,
I did finish the South Park game, so that's something that I did with my life that was good. So I'll talk about that next time. But anyways, you can find me at 16-Bit Catholic. James Ryan, once again, is at Beer Baron for Life. And we will talk to you guys soon.